You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, I somewhat forget to hit record, but just at the beginning, so we didn't lose too much of it. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. Yeah, you counted us in, Brandon, and I was just listening to you count. And I was like, oh, I'm supposed to do something. I'm supposed to hit record. That's right. Hey, everybody. My name's Travis.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brandon. Were you recording the video, though? Just not the audio.
No, I was recording the audio and just sitting there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no video.
You won't miss a thing if you listen to the audio version of the podcast, which you can find, you know, anywhere you listen to podcasts, whether that's Apple Music, Spotify, your grandparents' old radio. It's anywhere you get your podcast.
I like a springer, like a moon and a June and a springer. I like a singer.
But video viewers, if you go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow, it's just Apathetic Enthusiasm. youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. You'll notice the little slight cutoff. Yeah, leave a comment if you're watching this on YouTube and tell us your favorite thing you did this weekend. Maybe you'll give us something to talk about.
And we'll talk about it next week.
Here's the problem is I know you have something to talk about, Brandon.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk about it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's talk about social media.
Okay, yeah.
Facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow.
We still have it.
That's where Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Facebook still exists, everybody.
It's still there. I get periodic notifications.
Periodic.
apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com.
That's right. We still have that. Send us an email.
Send us your questions. Nobody's sending us questions.
We did get some. I don't know how legit it is, right? But I think I think people are using ChatGPT or some other kind of AI to like use generic kind of, like, hey, check out their latest episode, see what they talked about, make a pitch. And then we're going to transition into, would you like to interview this person? And if that's the case, if it's not the case, I apologize to the person who sent us multiple emails about that. We do appreciate you reaching out.
The one that we've perpetually ghosted.
Yeah, we do appreciate you reaching out.
I just don't know if it's a good fit for the show.
Yeah. Because we're about to talk about Lorcana.
we could respond in an email.
We could.
But you listen to every episode, so, I mean, thank you for your inquiry.
Yeah, thank you.
You could still hit us up on Instagram at apathetic_enthusiasm.
That's right.
Or over on the web at apatheticenthusiasm.com. I think that hit all of them. Oh, patrons. We have fantastic patrons at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Thank you for your support. We love you
more
than anyone else.
All right. Well,
for listening.
What do you want to talk about, Travis? You know I'm
the undefeated Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh,
remaining undefeated team in the National Basketball Association.
How many games this season have there been so far?
They have played 7.
Okay.
That was tied for the most as of this recording.
How many games are in a B-ball season?
I believe 82.
82 games?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's quite a few.
That's a lot of games. That's almost like baseball level amount of regular season games.
Nobody cares about baseball, Brandon. Unless you live in Los Angeles.
It's almost baseball. No, let's talk about the Thunder real fast. Why is that so impressive? Why is 7 games so impressive, Travis?
Just because they haven't lost one yet. And they also don't have like 2 people out of their starting lineup. So they're using really great bench players. The team development is outstanding.
Yeah.
Sam Presti is just like the best GM ever.
Presti?
Yeah.
That's like a magic thing, isn't it? Or is that like a pasta sauce?
Presti Changeo.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. Is this his first head coaching gig?
He's the GM. He's the general manager.
Okay, yeah, it's not the same thing as a head coach. So is it his first general?
He's the guy that like picks the players and recommends the draft picks, and like he's the guy that's like picking your team and like working the deals to like for trades and stuff like that.
So he's kind of
he drafted Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka.
All those players are still on the team, right?
Yeah, they're all still there.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. It makes sense that they're a championship caliber team with all those three players on that team.
James Harden, never traded. The Thunder actually play James Harden tomorrow night. And here's something I do want to talk about.
Yeah. I knew I'd get it out of you if I just kept
the NBA
antagonizing.
Is a global game.
If I kept antagonizing fans, you.
Fans all around the world.
Uh-huh.
But they've got, you know, these major sports companies, they're driven by television contracts, and the NBA has new contracts with NBC. NBC is now like the broadcast home for NBA. There's no longer NBA games on TNT, which there were for years since like the 90s. And all this is fine, whatever. I have Peacock. It's not bothering me. But games start on the West Coast so freaking late. Tip off for Thunder at Clippers on Tuesday night is 10 p.m. Central Time, 11 p.m. Eastern. That means if you're someone like, I don't know, Bob Carroll, who's a Thunder fan, and you want to watch this game, you have to stay up till like 2 a.m. or something to finish the game. It's insane.
What does that have to do with TNT though? That the game was still on that late, wasn't it?
I don't know. No, I don't know that they started that late prior to this season. Like I feel like West Coast games are starting later this year since they changed some of the
interesting. Yeah, I mean that sucks.
Bob, correct us if I'm wrong. Leave a comment in the YouTube.
Yeah, no, that
I know you don't listen on YouTube.
That's cool though, man. It's cool that you are. You know, the Thunder won the championship last year, and you know, like
and we're running it back. Two timers. Nobody does that these days. Nobody wins back to back championships.
Yeah, they're
off of you know extended games that take longer than the normal allotted time. Mm-hmm. Like the Thunder's first two games went to double overtime, which is crazy.
You never see
teams playing that late.
How do you do a double overtime in basketball? Don't they just like one
you
person
just keep not winning?
Yeah, I feel like you get to
the end of the game and nobody has more points.
I feel like overtimes in basketball should be rare, right? It's like, come on, it's like it's 2 points here and there, you know, just like. Just get more.
I think they're relatively rare.
Just get more than 2 points than the other team, right?
You don't even need two. You could have 1 point.
That's right. That's right.
And that would be enough.
Well, actually, I don't know if that's right. Like, I don't know if they changed the rules of this year.
It's not like volleyball where you have to win by two.
30 love. Like it's been tennis.
Yeah, I don't know. I have been watching. I will say this, and I don't know if I mentioned this on the last episode, but, you know, the Thunder season has started. Last year, they did win the championship, so they were playing a lot longer. They played throughout, you know, three full seven-game series. I mean, like, plus the finals, another seven. Like, they were still playing in, like, July, I think, or something like that. My wife very invested in the playoffs. We went to a few events where they were showing playoff games at the arena. She was watching from home. She was just got really invested in the team, really excited about it. So when the season started this year, she was like, "Let's watch all the games. Let's buy the TV package that lets you watch all of the games." She asked me regularly, like, "Hey, is there a game on tonight? Let's watch it."
Oh,
and like, there's 82 games. Like, she's in. So this is not the woman I married.
No, the woman you
married.
Did
I say
like,
all of this in the last episode?
She's like, she's like, there's not enough pillows on this couch. We should go to Target before the next game is what I'm used to hearing about Sheena.
Did I feel like I said all this in the
no,
last
no, episode. I don't. No, did you it? Didn't.
No?
No, this is new.
Anyway, it was
fresh.
It's been surprising in a good way. It's something I love. Like, she's never going to get on board the Slorkana train with me.
No.
Like, this is me and my son, one-way ticket.
May not get on any train with you.
she has always wanted to do one of those, like, cross-country, like...
Oh, yeah. Or like, up to, like, Pike's Peak.
Yeah, yeah. The ones that influencers always, like, share on Instagram reels.
And, like, you go to Pike's Peak, and then you start going up the mountain. And what the great thing about Pike's Peak is, as you're going up the mountain... It's such a rapid change in elevation, and Colorado Springs is already such a high elevation that by the time you get to the top of the mountain, you can feel your mood getting progressively more irritable because you're like, I went up there a couple years back. Chelsea, our fam, her brother, her sister-in-law, and their friend. And it was like, we started the mountain like, this is going to be so fun. Yay. I'm going to the top of Pike's Peak. And then by like middle of the way up, everyone's like, can we turn the music off? it's fine. Just open the window. Can we just have silence? it didn't get that bad, but like, it's just like in the air, you could feel the vibe turning towards.
Really?
I'm just unhappy.
What kind of like train car was it? Was it like
that was just a
like a fancy like luxury thing, or was it just like a bench seat?
No, it was me driving, which is probably half of the problem.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. I think that's a slightly different experience than like some sort of like luxury train like ride across.
There's no
country.
Luxury yeah. train. It's just like it's not even a train. Like it's just like a trolley car that goes straight up to the top of Pike's Peak, and then like you get like chocolate donuts or something.
I think we're talking about two different things.
Like okay. Well, anyways, Pike's Peak.
All right. Anyway. So yeah, I've rambled on long enough. What have you been doing?
Let's see. It's interesting you bring up wives and watching sports. So
yeah.
Look,
like sports, and we don't care who knows.
I'm not going to linger on this too long, Travis. Yes, the Dodgers.
All right, Bob, just fast forward like 10 minutes.
They are now in like 20 years, or whatever. I forget what the last team is. Two World Series wins in a row. And so, my friends this year have been like, Brandon, watch the games, because when you don't watch them, we lose. And so I'm like, I'm trying to keep an eye on it. So Friday happens and it's like, what was I doing? I don't know what
Halloween. Halloween is Friday.
That's right. It was Halloween on Friday. We're going through the neighborhood. There's like a haunted house in this like kind of rich area. And so Dexter's going through there with Chelsea, and then we like try to do some trick or treating around there. And there's a lot of people out there that have moved their big ass screen TVs and their projectors out there, and they're playing the Dodgers game against game six against the Blue Jays in Toronto. And like, you can tell like from down the block when something good happens, because everyone's like, and people handing out candy and stuff like that. So it's like, okay. That's cool. They're doing pretty good. We leave that area. We get back to our neighborhood because the rich neighborhood ran out of candy. Jerks. Why would they run out of candy? You should have more than everybody.
Yeah.
Walking around our neighborhood, which is not the rich person neighborhood, so plenty of people have candy left. And then I get to...
Maybe it's because all the... Everybody went to the rich people's neighborhood first.
No.
And took all their candy.
No, it's... It's because the poor people, we respect the spirit of Halloween. Sure, there's not very many trick or treaters there, and people just buy like way more candy than is necessary. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so I get the people are like, "Oh, yeah, Dodgers." I'm like, "Oh, cool." Like, "Oh, shoot. Okay."
Like,
we were expecting to lose this because we're in Toronto. Okay, they won game six. I get a text from my friend Justin. He said, hey, game seven tomorrow at my house. I'm like, yeah, all right. Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so let's fast forward. Justin's house. Chelsea and Dexter were at her parents' house for her brother's birthday kind of celebration. And then I'm like, where are you at, Brandon? I'm like, Justin's. Yeah, come over. Here's the address. I'm like, okay. Like, we're watching the game. So Dexter, Chelsea, come over. And then we'll eat some carne asada. Oh, so good. And then we're on the couch watching the game. And it's like, it's the seventh inning. And I'm not going to go into all the gory details about the seventh inning and how the game ended. But Dexter and Chelsea were glued to the couch as much as the rest of us. And Dexter even, like, Dexter's not a sports kid. Like, I wasn't a
what?
Sports kid.
Your son is not a sports kid?
And he may not be a sports adult, much like I'm not a sports adult. But maybe he will be. But he was like, whenever the Blue Jays pitched, he'd like try to do like mojo fingers, like and so it was really cool. So, but the one thing that we found out is Dexter's sensitive to sound, and one thing that I was kind of getting away from the Dodgers and like the excitement, like there was so much to be excited about during that game. But one thing that I didn't really experience ever when I was in the military for all those years was when you're in those different towns, you're in those different cities, there are so many different teams that you're rooting for. Like you go to a football party and you're going to have an Eagles fan. You're going to have a Cowboys fan, a Patriots fan, right? Like even Super Bowl parties, you tend to go to Super Bowl parties and you're rooting for one of the teams to lose. You're not rooting for a team to win necessarily.
There's an off chance that someone in your friend group is a fan of one of the teams.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And the rest of your friends are like, fuck you and your team. I want the other team to win. Right.
Yeah.
And so what a new experience for me, and you've got this because you now go to Thunder games. And so you're like, you're in a town where the people love a team. Being in a house full of Dodgers fans during that game and just how excited everybody is when like a play goes really well or a play goes really bad, like everyone's upset. Like that's a unique experience for me. And it's definitely a unique experience for Dexter. So when some of the major plays happened and like everyone jumps up like, yeah. And they're like high fiving people around the room and stuff like that. Like we did it. Dexter's like, he goes into a shell. Like I'm nervous that I'm going to get killed here or something. Right?
Okay.
So anyways, but it just,
you know, it's interesting. Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to do this again, but he did it. He did it for a really great game.
And so for all those Dodgers fans, do they park the bandwagon in front of the house or does it have special parking? How does that work?
Yeah, usually during playoffs, the bandwagon comes out.
Good.
And okay. and you know, like I don't feel any shame for being a bandwagoner because I was born in this city. I still live in this city. And
yeah,
it doesn't matter that and like a regular season baseball fan, I am not, right? But there's something to be said about like having a pride in a team. Like it's cool to be a part of that kind of community. And it doesn't matter what your political persuasion is. Like when I went to go see Viagra Boys, I think I talked about this. We went to a bar beforehand and we're watching the Dodgers game and everybody was wearing blue. And it just, again, like that's really cool feeling of community.
It is. Yeah, no, I would agree. And I think it's having experienced that sort of feeling for the first time with a team that I've been following actually winning a championship. Like that's not something I've experienced being a San Diego sports fan
right.
at any other point in my life. So, I totally get it. It's, it's just really hard because I've just really despised the Dodgers for so long that, you know, it's kind of like when the Chiefs win, like, over and over again. And I'm like, ugh.
Oh.
Ugh. But then the other side of the coin is the Thunder are the defending champs who are 7-0 right now. And you're like, oh, okay. Maybe this is why everybody keeps complaining about how many fouls SGA gets every game. Okay. All right. This is the other side of it. Anyway. Yeah. Yay sports. I think in the history of this podcast, we have not talked about sports as much in like the history of the show in the last 10 years as we have in the last like year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
This is really not our brand. But you know, okay, so I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Sports related, sports adjacent, but recently in the last few years, a lot of the leagues have become more open to sports betting, which has caused ESPN coverage, a lot of sports coverage, to be more like leaning into betting odds, things like that. As far as I know, sports betting is legal in California. Is that correct?
I think like so.
Have you ever participated in anything like that?
I haven't. I have not. I mean,
because we play fantasy.
I was gonna say, unless you count fantasy as sports betting, but you know, that's with me, it's with friends, right? It's like the same thing as like doing a poker night at somebody's house. Like it's gambling, but it's not real gambling. You're still doing this with friends. But doing like, you know, fantasy, not fantasy pros, like whatever those betting apps are, where it's like every ad is sponsored by sports.
FanDuel. DraftKings.
They're like, hey, bet responsibly. Sponsored by FanDuel, you know?
Those ads eventually worked on me because I was like, well, I've played fantasy football for over a decade, almost two decades now. And it has increased my investment in an interest in the games, right? Like, even if it's not my favorite team that's playing, if I have a player that is on one of my fantasy teams or is on an opponent's fantasy team, I'm like more invested in the game because I'm like, oh, let's see how this person is doing and let's see if they get me points, get my opponent points, things like that.
Yeah.
When I looked up all of those sports betting apps in the state that I'm in, Oklahoma, they're all not legal. Like, it's still not legal in Oklahoma. So it's like, oh, okay. Well, why am I seeing all these ads then right?
Oh, yeah.
And so then I look up Prize Picks, and that app is legal in Oklahoma because they, like, get around on a technicality where it's technically not conventional sports betting because it's under the guise of fantasy sports.
I think we've talked about this.
Did we talk about this?
Yeah, we may have. Yeah.
It's really interesting. I've been playing it a little bit more. I still have not added anything more than my initial investment, but it's just one of those things that, like, I get the appeal where if I put a small bet out there for like $10 or whatever, and maybe it hits, maybe it doesn't. Occasionally one will hit to where it like refills my little account. And then I'm like, all right, now I can make more little bets. Like, but I've decided not to bet on free throws moving forward because those are very much not guaranteed. And SGA just, I always bet wrong on him, whether it's over, under, whatever it is, I always bet him wrong. So that's sports betting for me.
Yeah, dang.
All right.
Did you see Steph Curry's game this last week on Saturday?
No, because it's probably on at midnight 30 or something.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about the GOAT, right? Steph Curry, he's just so great.
You talking about GOAT Simulator 3?
so during the Dodgers game, at the very start of the game, right? So we're not talking about them winning. We're talking about the very start of the Dodgers game where it was like, oh, the Blue Jays are going to win the series, right? Because the Dodgers didn't start very, very strong. And in one of my text chains, like, people are like, there's like Al Bundy with his hand down his pants, just like rolling his eyes. And then they're like, oh my God, are you watching this game? Steph Curry, 35 points so far. You know, it's like, this is a new conversation about the GOAT. So then we fast forward, the Dodgers win. I'm like, oh my God, Steph Curry's so good. anyways, that's that whole gap.
Okay. All right. That's good. Good. One thing that I committed to you at the beginning of October, and now we are in November.
Dodgers baseball.
Is that I was going to do everything I could to watch at least one Friday the 13th.
Yes.
You dragged me kicking and screaming at San Diego Comic-Con into this Jason panel.
Mm-hmm.
I sat through the whole thing. I got my Jason mask.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? This is an interesting story.
That's right. That's right. He was like, I kept the mask. I will watch one of the movies.
I got to watch Friday the 13th. Here is the things I learned on the night of Halloween after the trick-or-treaters were all done and we watched Friday the 13th. For starters, there's no Jason mask in
it. Mm-mm.
Not there.
Nope. Not okay. At all.
Warning, this is your spoiler-filled review of a movie that is 40-something years old.
The 1981 classic, Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
I think it's 81. I'll look it up.
Here are the things I thought. We had just watched Psycho. We talked about this a few weeks ago. It's an older movie, like
80. It came out in 80. Sorry, everybody.
Horror films have developed a lot over time, right? So I feel like even if I'm not like super into horror movies, like this is such an early horror film that like it'll be fine. I can handle it. No big deal, right? And that was true. Like I was fine. I slept like a baby that night, right? I'm not worried about it. Sheena watched it with me. She had also never seen it. And she's like trying to get the kids to watch it with us. She's like, come on, it's an old horror movie. Like, it's not going to be like gory or anything. Turns out it is gory.
It is extremely gory. Yeah.
But very much in like a 1980s gore like level. Like, you could tell, like, tell it's fake for like a lot of things. Like,
Kevin, the arrow through Kevin Bacon's neck. Like, yeah, I mean, that's not real.
And the fact that it's a movie and if they actually killed people, that would probably be problematic. But, I thought it was pretty good. It was kind of slow, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I was giving it a big benefit of the doubt, knowing that this was like a first of its kind based on what I understood from the panel that we went to. And then, I liked the twist. I liked the fact that I knew that you had said,
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Jason's not the killer.
Right. Yeah.
And I knew that. Sheena didn't know that.
Oh.
And then I think I told her that like halfway through, but neither of us knew for sure who it was. I had a feeling I knew who it was because I feel like we had talked about it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But she was, I think, really surprised that it was his mother, right?
Yeah.
Who was the killer.
Pamela Voorhees.
Yeah. And then I didn't even like jump a lot. There is a part that really made Sheena jump was who's the guy that was like the owner of the camp?
Oh, I don't remember their names.
Bearded guy with like glasses, right?
Yeah.
He gets back up to the camp and he's like in like a yellow like rain jacket and he like is walking back towards his Jeep. And there's like a shot of him looking at a camera and he goes, huh. like he like recognizes someone and he goes, huh. And him going, huh, made Sheena jump for some reason. but then at the end, when it looks like everything is resolved, the night of horrors is over.
Yep.
And everything has resolution. There's like one more jump scare. And I really liked that one. That one got me. It made me jump. And it was cool. Like it was cool to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thank you for watching it. I'm glad you watched the first one. I'm
guessing it's like your least favorite one, and now I have way more homework to do.
No, it's not my least favorite one. No, I like it a lot. What I like is that, you know, I have known about the series forever, and like all the details. And so it's interesting, like we just talked about Psycho and not everyone knowing the twist of that. And so like it didn't even occur to me to think that people don't know that like Jason's not even in the first one as a killer. Right.
Yeah.
And that it is like it makes sense. Like no one's really expecting that. Well, was Sheena expecting Jason to show up at some point in time to show up as the killer? Or
I guess. Yeah,
that's the interesting thing to me too, is people who are looking at it in hindsight, knowing that Jason is such a major part of the franchise, that they're like, okay, when does he show up? When do we see that it's him? Because the movie is a mystery. It's like a, who is killing these kids? We don't know.
Yeah.
Whoa. And then it turns out to be, not Betty Palmer. Pamela Voorhees. Real quick.
In a very nice sweater.
A very, very, very nice sweater, which comes into play in some of the series sequels. Here's a little bit of trivia. I don't expect you to know the answer, Travis, but when does Jason's iconic hockey mask first show up?
It's not in the first one.
It's not in the first one, so you got that.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say
you got nine more to go.
The third one.
That is good. That is a good guess, and is the correct guess. The second movie. When we actually meet Jason, he is wearing kind of a bag over his head, like a burlap sack. And so then in the third movie, he's still wearing that burlap sack. And eventually there's this one character. He's kind of like a Joker kind of character. But he has a hockey mask on there. And then when Jason murders him, he takes the hockey mask, takes the sack off. And then that's the first time he dons the iconic Jason hockey mask.
Which I can see in the background, but our viewers can't because it is cropped out of your image.
Well, what people can't see is the Jason hockey mask. But here's another bit of trivia, Travis, is in one of the movies, Jason, well, two movies, because obviously the first one, another one of the movies, Jason wasn't the killer. As a matter of fact, it wasn't Jason at all. It was a character named Roy. And Roy, in this movie, his son was murdered by another person, and he went crazy. And so when he went crazy, he donned a hockey mask. And so this is actually a Roy mask. And you can tell it's a Roy mask because his mask is the only one with blue triangles. So there you go. Wow.
Interesting. I had other questions for you. I had thoughts for you.
Yeah.
Oh, because we talked about Psycho. Mm-hmm. We talked about Psycho a couple weeks ago. And I felt like there was inspiration from Psycho in the way Pamela Voorhees was portrayed. Because we heard, like, Jason crying in the woods. We heard, throughout the movie, like, Jason, like, asking for help or something. And then there's, like, a moment once Pamela Voorhees is, like, revealed as the killer where she has, like, a dialogue with her and Jason, but she's, like, saying both of the parts, which to me felt very reminiscent to the killer from Psycho and Norman Bates, who had become his mother and had this schizophrenic, like, habit of being both the mother and Norman. Like, has that ever been referenced in other things, or am I completely reaching here?
I don't recall it being referenced in any other thing. I mean, none of the other Friday the 13th movies, but
I'm just a horror movie aficionado at this point.
I've
watched two of them.
I don't want to say you're reaching, right? And I wouldn't say you're reaching, because the beautiful thing about movies, not just horror movies, but movies in general, movie criticism, is that you can read into movies however you feel that you should read into. So, Jason Cunningham, some of the folks from who worked on the Friday the 13th movies, right? Like, what era did they grow up in? They grew up in the era of Psycho, like where Psycho was a huge movie. And so it makes sense that they might draw some inspiration from those types of fears of someone going crazy and just lashing out and going psycho. So, you know, you're not wrong, Travis. You may not be right, but, you know, that's the beauty of interpretation.
It's the beauty of it.
I have another thought or two. But what other questions did you have for me? Hit me with them in the comments.
No, I think that's probably it.
Okay.
I am interested in watching the other films. It's obviously Halloween's over now, so I have to wait a whole year before I can watch another one. I don't know. Unless Friday the 13th is more of like a Christmas movie, and then I can check that out.
The Friday the 13th before Christmas.
The Friday the 13 days of Christmas.
Oh, that's a good. Isn't it 12 days of Christmas?
Don't worry about it, Brandon.
Brandon, come on! I'm trying to workshop here.
There's no bad ideas in a brainstorm, Brandon.
Yes, and son of a bitch. Yes, and. Okay, we're talking about Pamela Voorhees. I want to tell a quick story, and then I want to talk about another horror thing after this. Okay. First of all, Pamela Voorhees. So the company I work with currently, I'm not going to say their names. The company I work with,
Crystal Lake Industries.
In cybersecurity, right, as part of an organization, what you want to do is you periodically want to test your users of your network to phishing campaigns, right? So, you know, send an email that looks legit, it has a link in there, and some people might click that link, and then it'll, like, do a pop-up and say, hey, this was an exercise, you failed the exercise. So that is one way to test your users and you know, see how effective your cybersecurity measures are. Okay, so last week, guess what? It's the week of Halloween. I don't know if you know that, Travis, but the week of Halloween.
I heard a rumor.
So this email comes out, and I wake up and I get a couple texts from my coworkers, and I'm like, oh my god, this email just came out, like. I'm scared. And the email says, hey, user, your computer has been identified as having suspicious activity in a foreign country, who is an adversary of the US. Because of this, please go to this link and fill out the, you know, information that is requested of you. Right? Okay. For me, as soon as I see somebody say, hey, something suspicious, click here, I'm like, well, now you're suspicious. That's, don't
Yeah.
Don't tell me to
click. Red flags all over this place.
Don't tell me to click anywhere. And then I see that's from, it says external. So it means it came from an external. It didn't come from inside the company. I look at the email, the domain of the email address, and it's like at notarealplace.realplace.com. It doesn't say exactly that, but you know, I don't want to say the name of the company. And then it says Pam at that email address. I'm like, huh. An email like this would come from the organization's cybersecurity account, not an individual. So then I'm like, let me read down, scroll down more. And the dead giveaway was the signature block where it says Pamela Voorhees. cybersecurity. And so I respond to everybody and I say, hey, everybody, if you got this email, remember, it's Halloween this week and Pamela Voorhees is Jason's mother. And a lot of the young'uns didn't get that reference.
A situation where your robust knowledge of horror film history becomes critical in your day-to-day life.
That's right.
Fantastic.
Cybersecurity protection. And then just to be sure, I looked up in the gal to see if Pamela Voorhees was a real person in the company. Nope. Not at all. Not at all. So I just wanted to...
Crazy.
I wanted to leave... Crazy. I wanted to leave that with the audience here to say, look, if you get an email saying something... Be very suspicious of emails that you get from nowhere. Just, I'm a very...
Especially emails from the killer in Friday the 13th.
I'm very cynical and pessimistic about getting unsolicited emails from people. Like, very, very hesitant. Anyways, okay, moving on from that. Staying in the realm of horror. There was a prequel series that just came out about a week and a half ago, and it's based off of
Camp Crystal Lake.
No, not that yet. No. Unrelated to Jason. It's based on a Stephen King novel. And so Welcome to Derry is the prequel series to the It series of movies that came out a couple years ago, directed by I forget his Muschietti. Anyways, so the prequel series about It. So this takes place like 28 years before the movies took place. And so far I'm really enjoying it. And it not that you're going to watch it at all, but
not at all.
You don't see Pennywise at all in the first two episodes of So the first episode came out last week and then the second episode premiered early on Halloween. What I will say about the premiere episode is it sets the stakes and it shocks you a little bit about how it ends, where it's like, okay, all right, this is pretty good. So the horror is pretty good in it. If you're not you, but people who are listening, if you're a fan of horror and you like the movie It, you like that story, this is a continuation of that little prequel. It has some, this might be a spoiler. It might be a little bit of a spoiler, but it's got Dick Halloran in it. Dick Halloran is the caretaker from The Shining, the black guy from The Shining, who has The Shining and talks to Danny early on. His character is in this movie, or is in the show. He's also coincidentally in the Stephen King novel. He's referenced in the Stephen King novel as well. So
that actually is pretty interesting.
It's pretty cool because it's kind of got this Stephen King universe aspect feel to it because it has references to other Stephen King novels and situations so far. Kind of like there was a series a couple years ago called Castle Rock, and it was kind of along the same lines. It had Stephen King references in it. So not that we have to have this combined universe for everything that we do, but I've always been fascinated by Stephen King's He's building that stuff into his novels since forever ago. Anyway, good show. Check it out if you are interested.
And to build on that, I want to talk about a Stephen King property that is not tech. I mean, it is Stephen King, but it's under a pseudonym, Richard Bachman.
Richard Bachman.
One of the few things I've read by Stephen King, and we've talked about it a very long time ago in a very different type of iteration of Apathetic Enthusiasm, The Running Man. We talked about it in terms of the Arnold Schwarzenegger film, which, if you've ever watched that movie, is so different from the original source material, the story of The Running Man, that it was disappointing to me, because I liked that story so much, and I liked the fact that in the story, like, the he's not in some like arena, he's like out in the real world actually running from people hunting him, and he still has to like check in and record these videos, because it is still a TV show, but it's this apocalyptic type society where everybody's poor, everybody's struggling, and so they're willing to go on this show and be hunted to the death in an attempt to get money for their family or something like that, right? This last week, I saw that coming November 14th to theaters, a new version of The Running Man, starring Glenn Powell, is coming out. And based on the trailers I've seen, it looks at least like a big step more towards that original source material, at least a lot further than that Arnold Schwarzenegger version was. Have you seen the trailer? Have you seen anything about this version of the story?
I have. So Running Man, the Running Man with Schwarzenegger is one of those lazy watches where I can watch it over and over again. I just have it on in the background. It doesn't matter. Sure. Doesn't matter what's going on. Put Running Man on. I'll look up and see something. I'm like, yeah. Oh, he's doing a one-liner. Okay, cool.
As far as Schwarzenegger films go, it's a fine Schwarzenegger film.
Sure.
I just feel like it is very different from what that original story
was. And that is what I understand. I have not read the original story, and honestly, The Running Man with Schwarzenegger is basically the only real reference I have, because I never read the Bachman version. But Chelsea has, and she was always like, yeah, it's a lot different. I think we talked about this a long time ago. It's a lot different. And so now The Running Man is coming out, Glenn Powell, I'm seeing it. And then we watched it in the trailer for which I don't remember which movie, maybe like The Monkey. And Chelsea's like, okay, that looks a lot closer to the novel. And she's like, I don't like Glenn Powell. I don't like his face. Which is fair.
Okay.
But you know who's directing it, right?
Oh, yeah, I do. But I'm terrible with names.
Edgar Wright. Yeah, like, yeah. So yeah, maybe we don't like Glenn Powell's face. And he was like, oh, I was only successful because I was with Big Boobs Sydney Sweeney in that one movie.
I mean, he was in Top Gun before that movie.
No, he was never in Top Gun. Just only Sydney Sweeney.
Top Gun 2.
Yeah. And he wasn't in that either. It was only with Sydney Sweeney. What was that movie? Like Boob Girl?
I think that's what it's called.
I don't remember. Anyway, so
I happen to have Rotten Tomatoes open right now. So
it not Boob Girl? I felt like it was
Top Gun Maverick.
Oh no, I'm talking about the one with Sydney Sweeney.
Twisters.
Oh, it's Twisters. Okay. I thought he was
he's in that movie. I just have to scroll really far on this tomometer.
They're burying it. They're burying his finest role.
What? Anyone But You.
That's right. Yes.
The 2023
comedy.
Romantic comedy that Sheena made me go see in theaters. Oh, yeah.
It was that memorable, clearly. Anyway, Edgar Wright. I love Edgar Wright. You know, even though the movies I'm not a huge fan of his, he still makes a damn good movie. And, you know, I feel like he wants to stick pretty closely to the novel as much as he can. So,
jeez. Yeah, you pull up Edgar Wright's filmography and there's some bangers in here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Man.
Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, At World's End.
Ant-Man.
Scott. No, he didn't do Ant-Man. Scott. He worked on Ant-Man.
He was the screenwriter.
But then
and
he
producer.
But then he was removed from the project.
That's right.
Last Night in Soho, Baby Driver. So many good movies, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good ones. All right. I want to see it. I'm convinced. I want to see The Running Man.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
I think we're going to go try to go see it this weekend. Over in the Cruise household, so.
Oh, okay. That'll be difficult.
Next weekend.
It comes out on the 14th. But well,
is there
good luck? Good
movie,
luck. I don't know how things work in LA. You guys get things earlier.
What movie comes out this week?
Zootopia 2? No.
No. There's one that the Cruises will want to see.
Oh, that's right.
Movies releasing.
Begonia?
No, not Begonia.
Predator Badlands.
Oh yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Thank you, man. I got you.
As soon as I looked up movies this week, I saw that. I was like, yeah, no, that's the one.
That's the one. Yeah,
because I'm pretty sure it's not Grand Prix of Europe, which appears to be an animated film.
No, that's the one. Grand Prix of Europe.
We found it.
Yeah, Predator Badlands. I want to see that. Want to see that. The resurgence.
And then when you're done, you can go see Christie, starring Sydney Sweeney, where she's a boxer.
That's yeah. No.
So
you know, by the way, side note, having nothing to do with Sydney Sweeney. You said boxer, which reminds me of that the Rock movie that just came out, where he's like a UFC fighter. If you go to HBO Max, if people have HBO Max and they're not paying for the premiere tier where HBO Max has commercials for all their content. Yeah. Yeah. It's really annoying. What's more annoying is
never felt like a more wealthy person than I do right now. I didn't even know that there were commercials on HBO Max.
Yeah. So there is this commercial that The Rock has and it shows like sometimes it shows like three commercials in a row, right? And they're like, you know, 10 seconds long, 15 seconds long. They're not too long. But when you play like the same ad for the same product all in a row like that. So here I am.
The algorithm gets it wrong.
I'm working. It's Saturday. I'm typing up this kind of questionnaire. I'm doing an application for something. And I'm just like, I'm really focused. I have to like doing like 2,000 words for this one answer. I'm like, da, 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 da. And I've got the, I think it's the Blob in the background, the Blob, the 1988 version. Anyway, doesn't matter. Here's what I hear. At Terramana, we use blah, 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 and copper pots. And this is where we find the spirit of mana. Come find the mana, Terramana. First ad. Second ad, Terramana. Every morning we find mana in the mana. Copper pots, mana. Terramana. Third, and so then it like, so okay. So now multiply that by like five or six times throughout the course of this movie. Find the mana. Terramana. I'm like, shut the fuck up about the mana already. Stop. Stop, The Rock. Stop. Don't say mana anymore. No shit. Like for one commercial, it says mana, some version of mana, like 4 to 5 times. And it's like, your product is called Terramana. Stop saying the word. Just say the product name or to say mana is this. I hate The Rock. I hate him so much right now thinking about that commercial. Anyways, just do me a favor, everybody. just get the premium HBO Max if you're going to get HBO Max. Do your favorite, self a favor, and skip it.
And boycott the celebrity endorsed tequila.
Terramana. Yeah, no, it's his mana. Like it's his company. Now I don't want to get that tequila because of the mana. Terramana.
Terramana. There's this thing as bad advertising. Someone might pick it up based on listening to this episode.
This is just to spite Brandon. Terramana.
This segment brought to you by Terramana Celebrity Tequila. Brewed in shiny copper pots. Find the mana, Terramana.
And Red Circle is like, yeah, this is the advertisement we're gonna put in the mid roll.
That would be hilarious if we unbeknownst to us were actually advertising for that
the entire time for years. Even before we started doing mid rolls, just Terramana's been there the entire time.
Yeah. The whole time. Yep.
All right.
Yep. All right. Well, we're at 55 minutes. We managed to squeak out a podcast after all. But yeah, if you have thoughts on anything that we talked about or other topics that you think we can cover, I'm 100% serious. Leave a comment down in the YouTube, or you can send us an email, and we would love to chat about the things that you want to hear about. And yeah, I think that's it. It's week 9 of the NFL season, which means the 9th episode of Swiffle Boys needs to be recorded. So Brandon and I are going to go and now record our fantasy football owner exclusive podcast. We're such nerds. Oh my gosh.
We are such nerds. But
I have voice notes for you to hear, Brandon. I'm so excited for you to hear them.
Oh really?
And by notes, I mean one. I have one voice note for you to hear.
Well, but before we leave, Travis, I just want to say one more thing, and it's it was created in a small town in the highlands of Jalisco. Dwayne Johnson worked with a Mexican family-owned distillery to build a unique home on the grounds solely for Terramana. Distilleria Terramana de Agave. Here they craft Terramana with a love for great tequila made the right way in small batches by hand. Terramana small batch tequila imported by Spirits, White Plains, New York. Would you like to know more about Terramana? Because check it out. You know, because it's crafted in a small Mexican town, you know, they slow roast all of the agave in traditional brick ovens and distilled in handmade copper pot stills. This creates a bright, flavorful tequila that honors the land it comes from. In life, we care about the things that have deep meaning to us. Family, friends, work, good times, and the not so good times. Our tequila is no different. Terramana combines two words that are meaningful. Terra, derived from the Latin terra, meaning earth, and mana, the Polynesian word meaning spirit. Terramana is the spirit of the earth. Terramana.
All right, everybody. That is our show.
I hate it so much.
Until next week, I'm Travis.
And I am Brandon. Thank you all. Bye.
Bye. Is it a mezcal?
It's all.
I stopped recording.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Gold Belly. Gold Belly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.